sailing boat is slowly cruising along a wide river. Peter Falk as Columbo. Episode title, Dead Weight. An American flag flaps in the breeze outside a large house overlooking a marina. Inside the house, black and white framed photographs of a naval officer adorn the walls. Guest stars, Eddie Albert, Kate Reid. Special guest star, Suzanne Plachet. An open wooden crate sits on the floor. Printed on it are the words, "To Memorial Hall, Marine Military Institute." An assortment of weaponry surrounds the crate, a sword, handguns, and rifles. Printed on the lid of the crate are the words, "From Major General Martin J. Hollister." A marble sculpture of a young woman combing her hair sits on a cabinet. Hangs on the wall, showing a grey-haired military man, his uniform adorned with medals. Now, the man from the portrait is wearing a bathrobe and shaving in a mirror. A car pulls up outside the house. A naval officer gets out of the car and strides through the open metal gates and up to the front door. The man stops shaving and goes to answer the door, walking past his portrait and the crate of weapons.
General Hollister, come in. You want a drink?
No, thank you, sir. I don't have much time. I would have called, but...
But what?
I didn't want to risk a wiretap.
A wiretap? You sound paranoid, Colonel.
No, General, just being cautious.
And the reason for this caution?
The word just came down this morning. Special directive to all section chiefs. The Inspector General's starting a full-scale investigation of arms contracts.
I see. You're sure?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's unfortunate. But I suppose it would have happened sooner or later.
If they find out.
They won't find out.
General, if anyone digs deep enough, they're bound to discover that I've let your construction company charge us a fortune in cost overruns.
You'll offer the standard explanations, unforeseen difficulties in developing the arms system?
It won't stand up, General. When the IG sees your bargain basement bids, he'll know I let you practically steal those contracts. They'll indict both of us.
As you say, Colonel, you're the one that accepted the bids. You approved the overruns.
With that much money involved, they'll know we had to be in it together. I'm getting out.
Oh?
I'm leaving for Geneva tonight. And if I may make a suggestion, General, you might do the same.
I have a business to run. Besides, I never believed in a forced retreat.
Well, maybe you can bluff them, sir, but I don't have your reputation.
You'll have less of a reputation if you go AWOL. It's an admission of guilt.
They won't know it for 30 days. I just took my annual leave.
It's a small world, Colonel. They'll find you.
No way, sir. I'll manage to disappear.
And if they do, just for the sake of argument.
Naturally, I'd keep your involvement to myself. I'd refuse to testify.
Not even to shorten a jail sentence? For giving evidence?
Believe me, sir, there's nothing to worry about. They won't know where I am.
How did you get here, Colonel? Taxi?
No, sir, I drove. Why?
I've been thinking. You present me with a problem.
Problem?
You assure me that my name will never come into this, that you will be my protector. I'm afraid I can't take that risk.
Hollister picks up a gun from the crate. Colonel Dutton steps back in fear. Now on a sailing boat.
Did you see that?
What?
A man just shot someone.
But where?
Oh, over there, there, see?
I don't see anything.
He just moved away from the window.
You've been out in the sun too long.
Mother, I'm telling you.
Oh, it's a mirage.
No. No, we're going back.
We're going what?
Which way's back?
Which way's...
Oh, what are you doing? I got it. It's all right. I'm all right. I'm all right.
You take this. Yeah, I got that. Now you take this.
But what'll I do with it?
Together, the mother and daughter steer the boat in the opposite direction. The daughter, Helen, waves to a man on the dock.
Mr. Barnes?
Helen uses the rudder to steer the boat towards the dock. Then Mr. Barnes grabs hold of the sail and pulls them over.
Here, let me give you a hand.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes.
The only thing I can say about the way she handles her boat, you certainly know when she's got. Whiplash.
Helen runs along the jetty.
If you hand me your aft line, Mrs. Wallace, I'll secure your stern.
I beg your pardon?
I'll tie up your boat.
Oh. Oh, yes, yes, of course. Is this it?
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Oh, I never thought we'd make it.
Neither did I.
Mrs. Walters finds Helen sitting on a wall wearing a glum expression.
Couldn't do it, eh?
What?
Call the police. I knew you'd come to your senses. They must get 1,000 eyewitness crank calls an hour.
What are you gonna do?
Oh, hello, operator. Could I please have the police? I'd like to report a shooting. Hello, is this the police? This is Mrs. Stewart. I'm down at the boat place, and,
A little later, a police car pulls up, and a uniformed officer gets out of the passenger side. He looks around, then spots Helen and Mrs. Walters looking out over the marina.
Officer Sanchez.
Oh.
Mrs. Stewart?
No, I'm Mrs. Stewart. That's my mother, Mrs. Walters.
You reported a shooting?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, well, this man in a bathrobe, he shot another man in a uniform.
What kind of uniform was it?
Oh, well, I can't tell the difference between an usher and a mailman. Well, I mean, I can tell them apart, but not what they're wearing, you know, but, I'm sure it was a military uniform.
Did you see anything, ma'am?
My daughter's the one who sees things, officer, not me.
You know, just because you were looking in the other direction doesn't mean that I didn't see it.
Where was the shooting, Mrs. Stewart?
Right over there. See that house over there?
Are you sure?
Oh, yes.
You know who lives in that house?
No. Does it matter?
I'd rather not say till we've had a chance to investigate.
Oh, yeah.
May I have your address?
She lives with me. 8090 Vale.
May I have your phone?
985-4321.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that all?
Well, for now. If we need anything more, you'll be contacted.
Oh.
Thank you.
985-4321.
Yes, ma'am.
come on.
You know, I...
Come on!
On that shooting report, Sergeant, the witness says it occurred in General Hollister's house.
The General Hollister?
Yes, sir. It just doesn't seem right that a slick sleeve like me would barge in and ask a man like General Hollister if he just shot somebody.
I see your point, Sanchez. I'd better send over somebody from homicide. Stand by, and I'll have him there as soon as I can.
Roger.
Lieutenant Columbo pulls up outside Hollister's house, where Officer Sanchez is waiting in his police car.
Sorry, sir.
Huh? For what?
That spot's reserved.
Oh, I see. All right. Who is it reserved for?
The police.
Well, I think I'm the one that you're waiting for. I'm a lieutenant. My name is Columbo.
Sorry, Lieutenant.
I was expecting an official car.
Well, that's all right. Your name is Sanchez?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
That's General Hollister's house right there.
Did anyone come in or out since you've been here?
Two young fellas in cadet uniforms went in a little while ago. That's the wagon over there.
Uh-huh. Is there another way out of this house?
By water. The general's got a yacht and a slip back of the house.
I see. All right, I'm going to go in and speak to the general, and while I'm doing that, I want you to search the yacht.
But, Lieutenant, I don't have a warrant.
Well, I'll ask the general for permission. If he doesn't give it, then I'll get a warrant. In the meantime, check it out. Listen, pay particular attention to the engines. And if you find out anything, let me know.
Dressed in a tuxedo, Hollister is in the middle of pouring himself a drink when the doorbell rings. He goes to answer it.
General Hollister?
Yes?
I'm from the police, sir. My name is Columbo. Lieutenant Columbo.
Columbo shows his ID.
Yes, Lieutenant?
I'm terribly sorry to disturb you, sir, but we have this report about this shooting.
A shooting?
Yes, sir. In this house.
That's quite an opening line, Lieutenant.
Sir, I'm sure it's just a crackpot complaint, but
But it's your job to follow it up.
Yes, sir.
I understand. I've had to do many unpleasant things myself in the line of duty. But may I ask this alleged shooting, just who is supposed to have shot whom?
Well, you see, sir, we don't know exactly, only that the victim was wearing some kind of a uniform.
A uniform? Well, come in.
Two men are closing up the crate.
These young men are from my alma mater, Lieutenant, MMI. They're here to take away my military souvenirs for permanent enshrinement in the Memorial Hall. As a matter of fact, Lieutenant, MMI is giving me a testimonial dinner tonight. They're commemorating the 20th anniversary of my retirement. And the opening of the Hollister exhibit.
Yes, General, do you think I could look inside?
Lieutenant, wouldn't that be a little obvious?
Well, I want to be in a position, sir, where I can tell my superiors that I've checked everything out.
They've already started nailing it shut.
It's just two nails, sir.
Very well, gentlemen. I have a friend here who would like to inspect the contents of the crate. Would you open it again, please?
Yes, sir.
One of the men uses a hammer to pluck out the nails, then they lift the lid off the crate.
Wow. A lot of guns.
War trophies, Lieutenant. AK-47 assault rifle. DPSH-41 drum. DPSH-41 clip. All Soviet-made, and as you've observed, all with their firing pins removed.
Indeed, very, very interesting, General.
Columbo rummages through some bags and uniforms inside the crate.
War mementos, Lieutenant. Lively memories, empty uniforms. All carefully packed, Lieutenant, for the exhibit.
Oh, yes. Of course. I'm sorry, sir. I'll just put these back in here. There we are. I think that's fine. Thank you very much, sir.
Carry on, gentlemen. Could I offer you something?
Oh, no. Thank you very much, sir. No. Say, you got a beautiful place here. It's,
thank you.
Roomy, and it's homey, and that's a fireplace. Wow. Boy, you know, when I was a kid, we used to have those fake wooden kinds. I don't know if you remember them or not, General. They had a fan in the back, and it had a red light and ribbons, and you turn on the fan, and the ribbons, they would flutter there. Yeah, they were terrific. Yeah, it's funny.
What's funny?
Don't you have those irons? You know that you put in the fireplace to put the,
Andirons.
Andirons, yeah.
No, I never build a fire there. It's too much trouble. Oh. Easier to turn up the thermostat.
Nice.
A wood pile.
For show.
Oh, what is for show?
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant, I've been thinking. The person who turned in that report was right. There was someone here in uniform. Me. While I was packing, I couldn't resist trying on the old harness, you know. I'm glad to be able to tell you that I can still get into it.
Well, you know, the report said there was another man here, and he was dressed in a bathrobe.
Whoever filed that report was seeing double. Yes, I was wearing a bathrobe while I was packing.
Got a match?
A match, There you are.
Thank you.
Hollister offers Columbo an ornate gold lighter.
Hey, that's quite a lighter.
One of a kind.
Yeah, that's something. Didn't you say that you were going to send all your stuff over to the exhibit?
Not quite everything, Lieutenant. This has a very personal meaning for me. It's a gift from my staff on the day that I retired from service.
Yeah. General, do you mind if I look around?
No, by all means, help yourself. Not much to see here. Just a basic BOQ. I guess that's why I like it.
Any servants?
Just a housekeeper, comes in twice a week.
Good night, General.
Oh, let me get the door.
Hollister hurries to the front door as the two men carry out the crate.
Careful. Night.
Columbo wanders over to some photographs on the wall.
Lieutenant, the bedrooms are this way.
Columbo follows Hollister into a hallway.
Yes, bedroom, Lieutenant.
Columbo peers inside.
Master bedroom?
General, you've been here all day?
No, I was out on my boat till about 2.
You didn't go out after that, sir?
No. I was here packing, getting ready for the testimonial dinner.
Do you mind if I look in your closet?
No. By all means, be thorough, Lieutenant.
Hollister slides open the doors.
Extra uniforms.
General, that's a lot of fruit salad.
Past history. All to be donated, Lieutenant. Well, you've had the tour. Anything else I can do for you?
No, I guess that's it. Unless...
Unless what?
Well, as long as I'm here, you happen to own a gun, General? A handgun?
A handbow? No, I... Yes, I do. A target pistol. It's a funny thing. I never think of it as a weapon. 22 caliber, high standard, Supermatic trophy model.
There you are. What's that medal for?
Oh, that's a first with the United States Marine Pistol Team. You know, Lieutenant, I had this out earlier today. I was thinking of giving it over to the exhibition. although it's never had anything to do with my military career. I was, oh, yes. Yes, I remember now. I stumbled over the crate as I was looking at the gun. Well, that must have been what your witness saw.
Of course.
Oh, well, there we are, huh? There we are.
Hollister aims the gun at the wall as though he's about to fire it.
Oh. I doubt if I could win any medals today. I've been so busy for months, I haven't had any chance to practice. Here, see for yourself.
Well, I'm not a ballistics expert, sir.
Well, take it along with you. Have your people check it out.
No, I don't think that'll be necessary, sir. I think I'm on a wild goose chase. Matter of fact, I don't think there's much else I can look for, General. I think I'll be running along.
Before you go, Lieutenant, just who reported this murder?
Well, no, I never said it was a murder, sir.
Well, this alleged shooting. Who turned in the report?
Well, I'm afraid I can't tell you that, sir.
Oh.
No, sir, that's against regulations, sir.
Oh, yes, of course, sir. Well, there's one thing for sure. That, whoever it was, it had to be some guy out here in a boat in the marina.
Well, General, I'd like to keep the record straight on that. Now, I never said that it was a man.
Oh, you mean it was a woman?
Well, no, I never said that either, sir.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. Mistakes have no gender.
Well, that's for sure. Well, I want to apologize for taking up your time.
Please don't give it a thought.
Good night, sir.
Good night, Lieutenant.
Oh, one thing I almost forgot.
Yes?
Your boat.
What about it?
I had the boat checked out, sir, while we were talking. I didn't think you had anything to hide, sir, and I just thought it would save some time.
I always preached initiative to my men, so I don't see how I can object now. And you're right. You did save time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Good night.
Good night.
Columbo opens the front door, then stops and turns back.
Oh, General. Enjoy your dinner.
Oh. Well, thank you, Lieutenant.
Leaving Hollister with a pensive expression, Columbo heads out. He walks across to the police car.
Couldn't find a thing.
The engines?
They were cold.
This Mrs. Stewart, did she look like she could have been doing any drinking?
Could have been. I don't really know.
Guess we both got a lot of paperwork to do, huh?
Columbo heads over to his own car. Later that night at the marina.
Here, Joey, gas up number two, will you?
Mr. Barnes!
Hi, General.
Hi, how are you? Mr. Barnes, a couple of hours ago, out on the marina, somebody waved at me. I think it was an old friend. You got any idea who it could have been?
Was it one of my boats?
I think it might have been, yeah.
You might have it there on the record.
Probably Mrs. Stewart and her mother.
Mrs. Stewart, gotcha. Do you know where she lives? I'd like to have a few words with her.
Yeah, sure. I got it right here.
Good.
Hey, General, you're not going to go sailing with her, are you?
Why?
Man, she's the worst. Man, woman, or child. She can't sail. I
really?
Couldn't take my eyes off her. I thought that she was going to keel over any minute.
Well, I'll watch it, Mr. Barnes. Thanks for your good thought.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A group of friends are having some drinks by an outdoor swimming pool. Columbo strides past them, smoking a cigar. Inside, Helen's fixing some drinks.
Just a minute.
She saunters over to the front door, sipping her drink as she goes.
Mrs. Stewart?
Yes.
Lieutenant Columbo from the police about a report you made of a shooting
Oh, yes, come in.
Who is it, Helen?
It's the police, Mother. We're just having a, before-dinner cocktail. Would you,
No, that's all right.
Ask for his identification.
Oh, Mother, I'm sorry, Lieutenant.
That's all right. That's all right. She's entitled to that. You must be Mrs.
Mrs. Walters. Walters. Walters.
You are, ma'am.
She checks his ID.
You sure don't look like a policeman. I have to make a salad.
You are. Yep. Mother is the eternal optimist. She's always hoping for the worst. Well, Lieutenant,
What is that? You mind?
Would you like to see it?
I like it very much.
Well, it's not finished yet. When it's done, it's gonna be a bowl, you know, like for plants and things. Or maybe it's gonna be an Indian water pitcher. I haven't really made up my mind yet, creatively speaking.
Well, this work is very, very interesting.
Well, they say it's important to work with your hands.
It's very good therapy. And she needs it.
Mrs. Walters tosses a salad and sips her drink.
Just a mass of therapeutic studies lately. Sailing, art classes. I even went back to work.
What do you do?
I work with children and animals.
Well, that's constructive.
Oh, you see that? That's a reflection of my job.
A lopsided sculptor.
You don't know what it is, do you?
No, I don't know what it is, but it's very nice.
Well, it's a South American llama. We have them at the Ark Park.
At the where?
The Ark Park, that's where I work with the children and the animals.
Well, so this fella here is a llama, huh?
Well, you see, I try and go beyond the surface, you know? To find a deeper meaning, a truer reality. At least that's what I think I do.
Mrs. Stewart, I want to get right to the point. You know, I couldn't find any evidence of any shooting in that house that you pointed out. I mean, there was no gun, there was no victim, there was nothing. Just a house, a fella living in it.
Well, I know what I saw.
Well, maybe you think you saw.
What does that mean?
The fella that owns that house is a retired Marine general. He says that if you saw him in the window, one, he was alone. Two, he was wearing a bathrobe.
Well, what about the man in uniform?
He says that later on, he did try on an old uniform, and he was carrying a target pistol at the time. And he says he happened to trip over a crate that he was packing. Now, to you, does that sound like a reasonable explanation?
Oh, very reasonable. But it's not what I saw.
Uh-huh. I see. Did you ever wear glasses?
No, I don't wear glasses. I have perfect vision. No, I have better than perfect vision.
Mm-hmm. Look, I don't want you to get offended at what I'm going to say now, but we doing a little drinking this afternoon.
Oh, Lieutenant, this is really too much. I mean, that police officer this afternoon, and then my mother, and now I am not hallucinating.
Oh, look, I'm just trying to reconcile
Lieutenant,
the two stories.
Lieutenant, I saw two men. One in the bathrobe, and the other one in a uniform. And the one in the bathrobe shot the other man. Now, that is the simple truth. The sane and the sober and the simple truth. Now, do you believe me?
Mrs. Stewart, a murder charge is about as serious as you can get.
Now, Lieutenant, I didn't ask you if it was a serious charge. I asked you if you believe me.
Helen stares at him pleadingly. Columbo sighs, then looks away. Now, Hollister comes out of his house and gets into his car. He reverses out of his driveway, then heads off down the street, the red taillights disappearing into the darkness. Meanwhile, Helen's pouring some wine while Mrs. Walters carves some meat on the kitchen counter.
I always did have a weird imagination. Even as a child, those imaginary playmates, all those games. We never wanted to face reality.
Mother,
To some people, that would have meant that I had a creative and imaginative mind.
Get it? Prisons that don't have a bite to eat in peace.
Still holding the carving knife, Mrs. Walters answers the door.
Yes.
Mrs. Stewart?
No. I'll call her for you. Helen, darling, there's a gentleman here to see you. Me? Yes.
Hollister waits in the doorway.
Yes?
You're Mrs. Stewart?
You seem surprised.
Well, pleasantly, I assure you.
What can I do for you?
You can watch the 11 o'clock news on television tonight.
What?
Apparently I need a character reference.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
You don't recognize me?
No. Should I?
You said that you saw me shoot somebody today. No, you have nothing to fear from me, Mrs. Stewart. But if you'll watch the late news tonight, I'm sure you'll agree that you've miscast me as a murderer.
Hollister heads off, leaving Helen with a troubled frown. Later that night, Hollister pulls up on a quiet street. He gets out of his car, puts his car keys into his coat pocket, then takes off his gloves. He sets off back down the street. Columbo's watching the news in a diner.
Earlier this evening, General Martin J. Hollister was honored by his alma mater, the Marine Military Institute. At the banquet tonight, MMI dedicated the Hollister exhibit in their memorial hall, the general thereby joining other select alumni who have distinguished themselves in the defense of their country. General Hollister was given a standing ovation. If any man in recent memory may be said to have had charisma, certainly that man was General Martin J. Hollister. Early on in the Korean War, as a colonel commanding a regiment of armored cavalry, Hollister captured the imagination of the American people. His courage, his brilliance in improvising in the heat of battle, his colorful garb, riding breeches, boots, and pearl-handled Colt 45 soon earned him the nickname the Iron Horseman. Later, as a brigadier general with his own division, he distinguished himself by a daring end run in which, out of ammunition and using only his famous pistol and a monumental bluff, he succeeded in capturing the opposing enemy commander and his entire headquarters. Finally, a landmine accomplished what nothing else could. Put General Hollister out of action with severe wounds. Wounds that necessitated his untimely retirement from active duty as one of the youngest major generals in this nation's military history. On the foreign scene, the Secretary of State again reiterated the United States' determination to keep current troop levels in Europe stable. In reply to sharp Senate...
You still think a man like that could shoot someone for no reason at all? It's practically on Mount Rushmore. You didn't even recognize him when he came here.
Well, I was in a state of shock. I mean, I didn't expect him to show up on our doorstep.
Why don't you just admit that you're not sure?
Because I am sure.
Yeah, well, you were sure when you were married to Tom, too. Do you remember that? You had him running around with every woman in town. No wonder he asked you for a divorce.
Those were not mirages, Mother. Those were flesh and blood ladies he was carrying on with. He even admitted it.
Your pot's overcooking.
That is not a pot. It's a crock.
Oh. General Hollister, colorful character. Reminds me of General Patton, old blood and guts. Hey, how about a game of pool before we call it a night, Lieutenant?
No, thanks, Bert, not tonight. I gotta get up early.
Got something special going on?
Yeah. I think I'm gonna do a little fishing.
Hey! It's all right, if you catch something good, bring it in. Give you a bowl of chili free. Hey!
Hollister and two officers are chauffeur-driven to his house.
Come on, General, just one more drink, huh?
One more?
Look, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Go on home to your wives, gentlemen.
Let's go up for one more drink.
Look, I always make it a rule to be in bed before reveille. Go home. Good night, gentlemen.
As Hollister strides up to his house, the car drives away. Hollister goes into his bedroom and takes off his overcoat and dinner jacket. He opens the closet and takes out a blue jacket and hat, then lays them on the bed. Then he starts to undress. Later, wearing the blue jacket and a pair of jeans, Hollister pours himself a drink. He downs the drink in one. Now, Hollister steering his boat out of the marina. He slowly turns the boat around. The boat motors away. It's daytime, and Columbo's waiting on the jetty as Hollister steers the boat back into dock. Hollister gives him a wave, and Columbo salutes back. The lieutenant's dangling a fishing rod over the water. Hollister climbs down some steps from the cockpit and strides onto the deck.
Ahoy, Lieutenant. You're an early bird.
Oh, yes, sir.
Be right with you.
Yeah. I'm just combining a little business with pleasure.
At this hour?
Well, George, my brother-in-law George.
Yeah?
Well, you don't know him. But at any rate, he's a fantastic fisherman, this man. And he told me that the best time to catch anything is around about now. He says get there before everybody, and you kind of catch the fish off guard.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like it worked.
Not yet, but I'm going to keep trying.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you'll catch anything big around here, Lieutenant. You're too close in.
Oh, yeah, you know, you're probably right. General, there's something I don't understand. All the other fishing boats, they were going out, and your boat's just coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I've won a lot of battles, Lieutenant, and I've caught a lot of fish by doing the unconventional thing.
Do you know that I have always envied somebody with that talent?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can learn that. You know, I think you're born with that. You know, inventors and military strategists. Now, I wish I had that, because that'd be a terrific thing in my work. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sure it would.
Yeah. Oh, General, talking about work, there's a couple of loose ends I'd like to tie up. Nothing important, you understand, but I wouldn't like to get them tied up.
Fire away.
Well, you know, I was watching the news on television last night. Those film clips of you in action?
Yes.
Great stuff, really.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was just thrilling. But you know, General, I happen to notice that you were carrying a pearl-handled pistol.
Splendid weapon. Single-action Colt 45.
Yeah, I remember that. That was kind of like your trademark, wasn't it? Well, the thing is this, that yesterday when I asked you whether you owned any guns, you showed me your Silverneers and you showed me your target pistol, which is all very well and good. But I was wondering, whatever happened to that pearl-handled revolver? Because when I looked into the crate, you know, I didn't see it in there.
Lost it, Lieutenant. Long time ago.
When I was in the hospital in Korea, somebody liberated it, you know, wanted a souvenir. Actually, I was pretty pleased it was taken. It was getting to be just too much of a publicity gimmick.
I see. So the Hollister exhibit is going to have to do without the famous Hollister gun.
Not exactly. MMI wanted one for their memorial, so they had a duplicate made.
I see.
Uh-huh. Now, I've got a change, so if there's anything else I can do for you...
No, that'll be all, sir.
Fine, fine. Just a piece of advice. Find a different spot, or use a different bait. Otherwise, you're not going to catch anything, Lieutenant.
As Hollister leaves, Columbo scratches his head and smiles. Then he sticks his cigar in his mouth and trudges away. At a petting zoo, a young man is hand-feeding a llama. Wearing a suit, Hollister walks through the zoo, past a carousel of children riding donkeys and another child sitting on the back of an elephant. Hollister walks up to the petting zoo fence, where he sees Helen, dressed in the black and white striped uniform of the zoo staff, feeding some sheep.
Mrs. Stewart! Mrs. Stewart!
He waves, and she comes over.
Good afternoon. Did you watch television last night?
Yes, I did. How did you find me?
I went by your apartment. Had a nice talk with your mother. Quite a lady.
Isn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand that you're through here in about an hour. Do you suppose that you and I could go somewhere, a public place, if you're worried? A place where we could have a drink.
Why?
Well, you're breaking the law.
I don't think I understand.
You're accusing, convicting, and sentencing me without a fair trial. Now, don't you say that that's un-American?
Helen gives in to a smile. Now they're sitting at a table in an upmarket bar.
Here's to your convictions and my acquittal.
Oh, I don't judge you, General. I just report what I saw.
I'd like to suggest the possibility that you were deceived.
Deceived by whom?
By yourself. And we all know the tricks that the sun and the sea, even your own eyes, can play on you. Particularly after a long day on the water. Would you admit that that's possible? Just possible.
I suppose so.
The defense rests for today. Now, I think we ought to prosecute these martinis before their statutes of limitations expire.
She smiles, then they sip their drinks.
Your mother told me that you were divorced.
Yes.
Well, I saw how very good you were with those children. Do you have any of your own?
No. Unfortunately, I always wanted them, but Tom, that's my ex. He didn't want children. We used to fight about that a lot.
Well, maybe you only lost one battle, Mrs. Stewart. Not a whole war.
Well, what about you? Are you married?
No, I never could find the time. First, there was my military career. And then my construction company. I was married to the business, as they say.
Well, I can understand that. Do you ever regret it?
Not really. Oh, there are exceptions, like last night when the door opened and I saw you.
Oh. Come on, General. You don't think I'm so insensitive as to not see through that remark, do you?
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, yesterday I called the police and I reported that I saw you shoot a man. And today you're telling me that when you saw me, music filled your ears and thunder and lightning filled the sky? Oh, boy.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. If, I guess if we both see such a scene in a movie, we'd break up. I meant it, though. And to prove that, I want to take you to dinner. Agreed? I'll take that for a yes.
They raise their glasses, and Helen smiles uncertainly.
And if Helen had just closed her eyes to some of Tom's flirtations, they might still be married.
Whatever happened to your husband, Mrs. Walters?
Who knows? Sent him off for Chinese food 30 years ago, and I haven't heard from him since. You know that I have raised that girl since she was 3 years old, single-handed.
Helen?
Stuart?
Lieutenant.
Well, I hope you don't expect to eat now.
No, I already had dinner at a lovely restaurant overlooking the city. It was just beautiful.
Well, you might have called. Did you dine alone?
I know. Not this time. Well, as a matter of fact, I had dinner with General Hollister.
General Hollister? Well, what do you know about that? Are you going to see him again?
Well, he asked me to come out on his yacht.
Well, that calls for a drink. You play your cards right. Bourbon today, champagne tomorrow.
Makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it? About the general.
What do you mean?
Well, I didn't tell him your name, you know. And I didn't tell him where you live, so, he must have gone up to a lot of trouble to find you.
Oh, curiosity about his accuser.
Yeah, could be that. Of course, it could be something else.
Oh, thanks a lot, Lieutenant. I mean, am I so uninteresting that he couldn't be interested in me for myself?
Oh, no. No, no. No, I didn't mean that at all. You're a very individual person. No, what I was talking about was the shooting. You see, I had second thoughts about the shooting. You see, our traffic people, they picked up a couple of kids. They were joyriding in a car they hotwired, and it turned out that this car belonged to a Roger Dutton, and he's a Marine colonel, Mrs. Stewart. And it could be that he was the man that you saw in the general's house.
You know, you did a lot of investigating for a man who asked me if I wore glasses or if I had been drinking.
Well, that's just part of the job. Anyway, I found out that this Colonel Dutton booked a passage on an 8 p.m. flight to Switzerland. But then, he never showed up to take the plane.
Well, I still don't get the connection.
No, you see, this Colonel Dutton, he was in the Marine Materiel Command. Now, that's he's a procurement officer. But he had a lot of dealings with General Hollister. And he suddenly took leave. And then he just disappeared. Now, if you could identify the officer in this photograph as the man that General Hollister shot, then I think a lot of these pieces would fall into place.
Columbo hands her a photograph and she looks at it.
I can't be sure.
Well, now that photograph is 3 years
old. Well,
I mean,
it all happened so quick, I just can't be sure.
I see. Okay. Well, we haven't found the body yet, so why don't you just keep that? And maybe we'll come back to you. Yes? All right. Good night, Mrs. Walters. Good night, Mrs. Stewart. You know what strikes me? You're the one that downgrades yourself. One dinner with General Hollister, and you begin to doubt your senses.
Columbo heads out, leaving Helen looking troubled. Now, Helen's lying on the cockpit roof of Hollister's boat with her arms spread out. Hollister comes out smiling.
Helen, you awake?
Ah,
I never knew how hard fishing could be.
Never tell that to a fisherman. Look. What do you see?
Your house.
And in the window?
I can't see anything because of the reflection of the sun in the water.
You know, you said that you saw a shooting there. About this same time of day.
Helen looks towards the house with a perplexed expression. Later that night, Hollister brings two cocktails over to a candlelit dinner table where Helen is sitting. She takes her glass. They toast, then sip their drinks.
Oh.
Dance?
Me? No.
What?
No, I'm kind of a klutz.
Well, you know, my ex-husband Tom, you know, he was like a ballroom dancer. I mean, he was so smooth. It was like he was ice skating, you know? And then, I mean, people used to smirk and make jokes. Those were my plumper days. My mother said, I look like a radish.
Come here.
No.
Come here. That's an order.
Hollister pulls back her chair, and Helen stands up, cringing with embarrassment. He leads her onto the floor for an awkward dance. She eases into the dance and smiles at him. Hollister nods encouragingly. Then their faces slowly edge closer together until they melt into a tender kiss. The next day, a woman's fishing on a boat. She spots a body floating face down in the water. Hollister's on his boat. He comes down the steps and onto the deck. He heads into the cockpit and turns on the radio.
This late development has just come into our newsroom. Early this morning, the body of a man surfaced in the ocean 1/2 mile off Morongo Cove. The body has been identified as that of Colonel Roger Dutton of the United States Marine Materiel Command. The police report that Colonel Dutton's whereabouts has been in question for the past 2 weeks. We return you now to the Timothy Jones Show.
Hollister looks troubled.
Ahoy! Ahoy there, Lieutenant! What's this, another fishing expedition?
Well, not exactly. Just wanted to talk to you, General.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't right now. No time. Unless you want to go along. A short scenic cruise. I'm taking an overnight haul. I want to test the engines.
Okay.
Cast this line off down here and then hop aboard, huh?
Columbo hurries along the jetty. Beside Hollister's boat, he untethers a rope from a metal hook. As Hollister starts up the boat, Columbo quickly jumps on board. Columbo makes his way into the cockpit as Hollister reverses the boat away from the dock. Columbo's in the cockpit with Hollister as the boat cruises across the water. A little later, the boat's picked up speed and is slicing through the water. Surges on through the water.
Well, take motive. Your construction company got a lot of contracts through Colonel Dutton.
Well, so did hundreds of other companies.
Yeah, but it seems as though he was being investigated by the Inspector General. And if he were killed, there would be no way of proving a conspiracy to defraud the government.
Well, if there's no one around, perhaps that means it doesn't exist.
Right. Right. Good point. There's one other thing. The morning after you disappeared, you went on your yacht.
Sheer coincidence?
Yeah, it probably is, but we do know that the body was disposed of at sea. Now, I've been studying the tides, General. The Coast and Geodetic Survey's got a book on them, and it shows that a body dumped off the marina in the ocean might carry down to Morocco Cove.
Might, Lieutenant. Might. Sheer speculation. Lieutenant, you should tell your colleagues that they have yet to show any link between Colonel Dutton and myself. Something that would prove that we actually met on that day.
Yes, sir. You're right there. But now that you mention it, it occurs to me that the night that the Colonel disappeared, I did see a car like his across the street from your house.
I don't know what kind of a car the Colonel drove, but there must be thousands of them in Southern California. You didn't, by any chance, check the registration at the time?
No, sir. No, sir, I didn't. There's no reason to.
Now, that was unfortunate, wasn't it?
The boat soars across the ocean. Columbo's looking a little queasy.
General, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back now.
Yes, as you wish. I guess we're about through with this test run, huh?
The boat bobs up and down on the tide as it speeds along. Now the boat's motoring back towards the marina.
You know, General, there is a link between you and Colonel Dutton.
Really?
Mrs. Stewart, an eyewitness to the murder of a military man in your house.
Help the lady aboard.
Looking sick as a parrot, Columbo staggers out of the cockpit. Helen's waiting on the jetty as the boat arrives, and she runs towards it eagerly.
Oh, Lieutenant, would you,
Let me take the bag.
Well, no, maybe you better. Could you just, yeah, right, no, no, yeah.
Should I there, take the bag?
Oh, all right, okay. Go. Oh, thank you. All right. Are you all right?
Me, fine. Just fine, yes. There's something I wanted to talk to you about, Mrs. Stewart. We've just recovered a body. Colonel Dutton, the man that I spoke to you about, somebody dumped him in the ocean.
He thinks I shot him.
Well, what I think is unimportant. What counts is what you saw.
Well, I didn't see anything.
Well, now, Mrs. Stewart, that's not what you said.
Well, no, it was the light, some crazy reflection.
Yeah, but you told me that you distinctly...
I don't care what I said. I was wrong. Can't a person make a mistake?
Look, maybe you'd like to talk about this later on.
Well, I'm going to say the same thing later that I'm saying now, so would you... Would you just... Please leave me alone.
If you ever want to go out again, I'll be happy to take you, Columbo.
Columbo climbs gingerly off the boat onto dry land. Later, Columbo wanders into his local diner.
Lieutenant, how goes it?
Columbo gestures.
So-so, huh? How about a bowl of chili?
Well, give me some chili.
There you go. Coming right up, Lieutenant. Got the best in town, you know.
You got a match?
Sure. Let me get this chili to you. There you go, your crackers. How do you like that coffee?
What's this?
Is that black?
What it is?
That's my helmet from the war.
What war?
What war? World War II. My wife says I can never throw anything out, so the other day she put her foot down. She says either junk goes or she goes.
You decided to keep her.
It was a tough decision. Anyway, I brought all my war trophies over here. Hey, wait a minute. You're one guy that can appreciate this. I'll get you another bowl of chili. My chili is good no matter what it is. Yeah, I got this, that. Look at this. Like I saved a little, the Japanese stirring spoon. I got on the Okinawa, the commissary. Yeah. Oh, well. You know, I guess my wife is right. I can't give anything away. Especially when it means something to you. Yeah, that's a long time ago, Lieutenant.
Columbo quickly goes to the phone.
Right, give me a dime.
Okay, Lieutenant. There you go. Let me give you that bowl of chili I dropped on you. Is that cream and sugar in that coffee?
Mrs. Stewart, Lieutenant Columbo.
Now, in a military museum, paintings adorn the walls, depicting scenes of battle, and artifacts are on display in glass cases. Columbo is pacing the floor. Helen arrives, and Columbo spots her.
Mrs. Stewart, listen. I appreciate very much you coming down here and meeting me.
Just remember our agreement, Lieutenant. No questions and no trying to get me to change my mind.
Not one question. Not even a half a question. I only wanted you to see the exhibit.
Why?
In order to understand a man,
You have to understand his past. Quite a collection, huh? See that book? That's a Marine military manual. Do you know the story behind that book?
No. Mm-mm. Martin wanted to wait till the first rush of tourists had passed so he could explain everything to me himself.
Oh. Gee, I guess he wants you to know what kind of man he is, too. About this book. There's a bullet in that book. A sniper tried to kill him. And that book stopped the bullet. And you know he never batted an eye? I mean, that tells you something about what kind of man he is.
Yes. That he's a man filled with courage.
More than a great deal. I think he has an unusual amount of courage. More than you and I, more than average people. I mean, if it was me, I would faint. I mean, most people would take time to recover. But he didn't. You see, I think he's a very cool man under pressure. Hey, that's nice, isn't it? Isn't that beautifully cut? Custom tailored? No, I think it's almost too nice. I mean, all that concern about clothes, it's kind of vain, don't you think?
Some men, Lieutenant, do not want to look like an unmade bed.
Here's a look at this stuff. Look at that.
A handgun with a mother-of-pearl inlay in a case.
I mean, this man just had a natural flair for attracting attention to himself.
Sometimes undesirable attention, Lieutenant. You don't seem surprised to see me.
Oh, I was kind of expecting you. I mean, when I spoke to Mrs. Stewart, I had a hunch that she'd tell you.
I'd like to know what this is all about.
All right, sir. I'll get right to the point. It has to do with that duplicate of your gun.
What about it?
Well, I find it hard to believe. Mrs. Stewart, see if you agree with me on this. I find it hard to believe that a man like General Hollister, who saved and cherished every war souvenir, even the smallest photograph, I just think it's strange that he was so careless as to allow his gun to be stolen. I mean, that pistol was the most famous single symbol of his whole legend. You agree with me, don't you?
Hollister fixes Columbo with an impassive stare.
Well, I don't know what you want me to say.
Well, if it was me, if it was my gun, I would take very good care of that gun. I'd have it in my apartment where people could see it, and I would keep it polished, and I would keep it oiled, and I would keep it loaded. And when a certain Colonel Dutton came to see me and threatened to expose me, that's the gun that I would use.
Well, if what you say is true, I mean, you searched. Where is that gun?
That's what I ask myself. Where is the gun? Why not on public display? Why not in a glass case? Why not in front of thousands of people?
Helen walks away from Hollister with a pained expression.
And after we found Colonel Dutton's body, anybody else, you, me, anybody else, we'd have gotten rid of that gun. We found the bullet in the victim, and a ballistics check will match up the bullet with the gun. But somehow, General, something told me that you could never get rid of that gun. It meant too much to you. You couldn't even part with a cigarette lighter. No, that pearl-handled pistol was just too tied up in your pride. Because of your tremendous belief in yourself, you figured everyone would accept your story about having a duplicate made. But there never was a duplicate made, was there?
Columbo opens the case and takes out the gun.
This, in fact, is the murder weapon, isn't it, General?
Hollister lets out a resigned sigh.
I assume ballistics has checked out the gun.
Columbo signals to two plainclothed officers to come over. One of them tries to cuff Hollister.
That won't be necessary.
All right, Lieutenant.
Hollister goes over to Helen.
I'm sorry.
She turns away from him, hiding her tears. The officers escort Hollister towards the door, where two naval officers are watching him. Hollister looks at his guards, and they withdraw their hands from his arms, allowing him to stride past the officers with a degree of dignity. Helen looks at Columbo, teary-eyed.
What is it with me, Lieutenant, huh? I seem to have a special talent, you know? I mean, with all the men in the world, I always seem to pick Mr. Wrong. I'm seriously considering locking myself in a closet for the rest of my life.
No, that's wrong. That's just the way my niece Marilyn felt after her divorce. Now she's got a new husband. As a matter of fact, he's a cop, and I got six kids.
Lieutenant, I mean, just between us, would you tell me the truth? Do you really have a niece?
Well, what kind of a question is that? Do I really have a niece?
Well, do you?
Of course I've got a niece. My wife's sister's girl, Cynthia.